48.
When I was 8, I saw an action movie growing up that made me want to become a hero. Later in life, I joined the military, and that was the end of that dream.
The whole world grew quiet as Xolia descended. Many of the people who possessed stealth skills activated them. Some did it unknowingly, like an instinctual reaction. It seemed she had an aura of power that pressed against them, making movement difficult except for shivers of fear. Light gleamed from a silvery toga and iridescent pearl jewelry. Charles, though, watched her with almost adoration in his eyes.
All that noise and chaos disappeared just like that. Amazing. I need to learn how to do that. But it's probably too complicated. With her level of competence, she must work in logistics. Probably a supervisor. Only someone like that could accomplish this with their very presence.
Only belatedly did he realize he was giving the mummy a gloating smile. It didn't stop him from doing it, but he had to put a little bit of effort into keeping it going just to make sure the fella knew.
"Mr. Charles, nice to see you again," Xolia smiled at him, her pointy teeth and snake-like eyes doing little to change the strange joy he felt.
"Good to see you again, too. How are you?"
Charles asked, pleasantly surprised he actually wanted to know. It took him a second to place the feeling, but he did.
"Seeing her again is like finding the remote control."
"I am well, but you didn't call me here unless you wanted something fixed or enchanted. Those guild folks bugging you still?"
It confused him, because he could only think of the guild who cleaned up the forest, and they weren't at the point he would say that they were bothering him. He shook his head.
"No, I had a nice cabin before all these folks showed up, and now it's broken, and they won't leave."
Charles nodded, satisfied he had summed it up nice and simple. Around him, though, everyone seemed to hear his words. They gasped in shock or surprise, alarmed and afraid that this powerful, high-level being might snuff their lives quickly. Xolia turned her head to look around her and simply said,
"Oh?"
The air seemed to vibrate with her annoyance. Even Charles was unnerved how her head could turn without her body doing so. He'd mentally pictured his wife doing that very thing when he'd messed something up once or twice, despite it not being humanly possible, just like an owl or a horror movie demon would. Quickly, the folks around them started making pleas and asked to explain, waving their hands in front of them. A few more brave folks bowed humbly and just asked to be spared. Xolia curled her claws in implied threat, which only made the folks talking whine louder.
"She seems like she's enjoying herself," Charles thought with a satisfied smile.
It was only the man-child who spoke up loudly, shouting over the noise,
"Miss, it's not like that. He gave us a quest."
Xolia, turning back to Charles, said in a low voice, "Mr. Charles, Bert asked me to pass along a couple things and show up next time you called. Can't talk about them with all these people here, so we need to clear them out. Do you mind if I hurt any feelings?" Like a fog lifting, Charles felt the gravity hit home on him. He knew that Bert wasn't going to pass along any messages that weren't important. He hoped he didn't mention to others what happened to his granddaughter because that was personal. He also knew it was unlikely Bert would. If anyone could keep a secret, it was that man. Charles didn't care if this woman blasted all these people into oblivion compared to how much he wanted to hear whatever news Bert might have found about Diana.
"Nope,"
Charles said. Any happiness that was on his face earlier was long gone. Those near him would likely say they felt cold, killing intent when they told this story in the future.
"All right, listen up. We're forming lines. You only get this one chance. If you need something from Mr. Charles that can't wait, get in a single file line in front of me. Everyone else, scram," Xolia said.
The words weren't loud, but carried over the crowd. And with those words, people scrambled like cockroaches when a light turned on. Distinguished knights ran full tilt into the woods. Adventurers with mean-looking scars and weapons opened portals and dove through them. Thieves, already in stealth, vanished in puffs of smoke. In less than 3 seconds, less than 20 people remained, and they were all standing in a single-file line. Out of this group, only the spymaster held herself with any kind of decorum, standing at the front of the line. Grandma Theedle to some, and Iona the Spider to others, the kingdom's spymaster was no young person to be shivering in someone else's presence. Still, a visible drop of sweat trickled slowly down her face when Xolia turned her attention to the woman.
"Maybe she teaches university logistics classes."
Charles couldn't help but be impressed. "Well?" Xolia asked.
"I am here to invite Mr. Charles to meet our illustrious king," Grandma Theedle began, speaking with a formal air.
"With an army of knights?" Xolia interrupted, tapping her foot. Charles was amazed that she even noticed those knights reported to her.
"Well, yes. This is a diplomatic matter, as Mr. Charles did not obtain citizenship before property, and his taxes are in—"
The piercing look Grandma Theedle received caused the woman to stumble over her words. She quickly gave up that avenue.
"It may or may not have to do with an influx of skunks that may or may not have—"
She trailed off again when Xolia took an intimidating step forward.
"You mean you are granting him a lordship and these knights are to report to him, correct?"
Xolia demanded. That confused Charles to no end.
"What would I want that for? I don't want to take care of knights."
"Well, no, the knights belong to Baron—"
"You mean used to be assigned to someone else and are now being assigned to Mr. Charles, correct? Obviously you wouldn't show up at his home with soldiers for any other reason, yes? One old man?" Now the flustered older woman blushed.
"Absolutely," the spymaster bowed. "That's why I brought them. Please allow me to go inform them there won't be a ceremony and arrange the paperwork."
She turned away swiftly and began making her way towards the woodline. Xolia waved her hand before shouting,
"Where the hell do you think you're going?"
Grandma Theedle froze in place, only to realize that she wasn't being shouted at. Instead, her son, a revenant with black bones and a thief's cloak, was busy sneaking out of line. He stood still, one foot in the air for just a second, before taking off at a full sprint. Charles couldn't help but be a little impressed.
"He might be the smartest or the dumbest of the group."
When glowing blue magic surrounded and grabbed his body and drug him back forcibly, Charles amended his thoughts.
"Apparently the dumbest."
"I don't know who you think you are," Xolia began, and Charles tuned her out.
He knew a scolding when he heard one. After being married for a significant period of time, it was an instinctual reaction for the words to flow through his mind like water. Charles began wondering what Bert could have found out about his granddaughter.
"Did he find the guy already? No, it's too soon."
"Congratulations! You have learned the skill meditation. Meditation is—"
Charles ignored the message and just kept thinking about what Bert could want to tell him.
Although Bert was pretty up on the technological advances and said he knew a PI, maybe the investigator had an AI that could search through camera footage? If I remember right, artificial intelligence replaces most of the criminal investigative parts of police after that Ben-something-or-other fella got the legislation passed. Too bad he disappeared after trying to do the same with politicians. That would have been a miracle. But what could a private AI find that the official ones couldn't?
What if he was letting Charles know it was a dead end and he couldn't help?
"Next!"
Xolia's words broke his train of thought. Charles realized the skeleton was still standing still and glowing blue, so it wasn't clear if the chewing out was completely done or just put on hold.
"Not my problem anyway."
The next in line was the female guildmaster. "We have an open quest and would like our honored elder to know it's been completed," she said quickly, yet firmly, adding a low bow. Xolia, for her part, just looked between the woman and Charles. Charles wasn't really sure what he should do at this point.
"It seemed like a lot of people come to let me know this kind of thing."
But he really didn't keep track of the quests or jobs unless it had to do with his cabin. Although Xolia and everyone standing in line were looking at him like they expected something. In the end, he decided he should say,
"Good job,"
and nod his head. That seemed to have worked because about 4 people smiled as their eyes unfocused to read some screen. They got out of line and started walking away. Before they got too far, though, Xolia coughed.
"Aren't you forgetting something?" Xolia asked, waving her hand at the destroyed cabin behind her.
The 4 adventurers stood there looking blankly for a moment. Charles only recognized the guildmaster. There were already too many young people around him to pay attention to all of them. He would almost need to be cornered to find himself willing to learn more names. Luckily, he didn't need to, as they all seemed to come to a decision. Soon, a series of portals opened up, and many of the adventurers who previously left started arriving and working to rebuild his cabin. They moved with a swift sense of urgency.
"Next," Xolia called.
Charles, feeling he needed to do something while he waited, picked up a piece of wood from his cabin and started whittling, tuning out the next few people. Red Baron and his group somehow got assigned to guard duty and were standing around the edges of his yard. A few minutes later, before Charles could get good grooves into the shell of the snail he was carving, it was the last person from the line and the reason he called Xolia to begin with.
"Ma'am, I have a dungeon, and the system-generated war that began a while ago with Mr. Charles's dungeon—"
"Mr. Charles, you have a dungeon?"
Xolia interrupted both the man and Charles.
"Eh?"
Charles slipped the half-finished snail carving into his pocket and scratched his head while he thought about it. Then he remembered.
"Oh, I sure do. Good turkey legs."
He nodded to himself and reached for his pocket to get back to whittling. Or he tried to, at least. He just couldn't find the right pocket after padding around a little, so he gave up and listened in.
"So his dungeon defeated all my monsters, but instead of ending the war, they're actively colonizing my dungeon. I didn't even know that was possible. His monsters are counting against my limit, and I have a legion-type undead dungeon. When I produce anything, it gets eaten by the darn wolves or used as clothing by his goblins, and—"
"That doesn't seem important."
Charles sighed and looked back at his cabin. Surprisingly, thousands of adventurers were crawling over it like ants and making good progress.
"Or it looks like good progress. I don't know too much about construction to really say."
Charles thought they were surprisingly quiet until he realized he could see their mouths moving as they spoke. He just couldn't hear them.
"Some kind of magic. I wish I could make them do that."
Silencing envy was turning into a legitimate emotion. Then Charles remembered the game had a button where he could buy stuff that magically appeared in his hands. An auction or market or something. He was trying to remember which icon it was when Xolia spoke to him.
"Mr. Charles, a moment?"
she asked in a nice and timid tone of voice, one that Charles normally associated with someone telling him to turn a device off and on again. That kind of tone deserves his attention.
"Hmm? Yes?"
Charles knew precisely how to answer that tone of voice, having years of practice.
"Do you happen to have a flashing icon in your screen?"
Charles heard a woman in the background shout.
"He's a damn player? What the hell? This whole freaking time?"
Charles turned to see the guild leader raging in temper while she punched and kicked a nearby tree.
"What's her problem?"
he muttered. He looked at his screen again, deciding on ignoring her.
"Yes, I do. Let's see."
He started looking for flashing icons.
"I've got 16. No, 17,
he said after he counted them. Both the mummy and Xolia looked at him with surprise.
"Huh. Flashing icons must be good. I wonder how many they have."
The sound of a tree falling seemed to break them out of their jealous thoughts. It was Xolia who asked,
"Do you see one that looks like 2 swords crossed?"
Charles knew at that moment that all his hunches were right.
"I knew it was a good idea to call her."
With newfound confidence that he could now get done whatever needed to get done, he answered,
"Yes. Should I click it?"
He saw her nod and mentally clicked it. A series of notifications came to life.
Your dungeon being attacked. Dungeon war in progress. Congratulations, your opponent has offered surrender. You have won your first dungeon war. Do you accept? Yes, no. Congratulations, your opponent has offered surrender. You have won your first dungeon war. Do you accept? Yes, no. Congratulations, your opponent has offered surrender. You have won your first dungeon war. Do you accept? Yes, no. Congratulations, your opponent has offered surrender. You have won your first dungeon war. Do you accept? Yes, no. Congratulations, your...
Charles almost accepted right away, but decided to check first. Reading off the screen got him two very adamant nods, and he accepted. The screen then closed out, and the icon stopped flashing.
Huh. Maybe these flashing notifications are something I should check. I think Mike told me I should do that.
Charles was about to go to the next blinking icon when the doors to his cellar flew wide open. Seconds after, there was a large commotion. He saw hordes of goblins, spiders, and wolves stream out of his dungeon.
That's a lot of critters. Are they all leaving? Well, they don't look upset, and no one is stopping them. That is a lot of them, though. Thousands and thousands. Wonder if I should say something.
Mr. Charles, it looks like your dungeon has reached population cap overflow and expelled the excess capacity when the settlers returned from the dungeon war, Xolia tried to explain to him while they stood watching the exodus. Of course, that all went over his head, but he wasn't going to ask for clarification. It wasn't something that he really thought he needed to know. In his mind, the sooner they got this all done, the better. Still, taking the time to explain was nice of her, and he didn't want her to feel unappreciated, so he answered as sagely as he could.
So that's what it was,
and nodded slowly. He could tell by her expression that she didn't really believe his act, but didn't call him on it.
That's still a success in my book.
The mummy just walked off briskly, not bothering with a goodbye.
Rude kids these days.
All right, that's almost everyone, Xolia began with a quick sideways glance at the frozen revenant before turning back to Charles. Look, there are two things I need to tell you. The first is, Bert said he got in touch with the guy and he's going to look into it. Said you'd know what that meant.
That wasn't as good as Charles had hoped, but was a lot better than the worst he had feared.
Thank you for telling me.
He gave her a small smile. Xolia just eyed him suspiciously but didn't press him for more information.
The second thing, you're now officially the oldest man in the world.
That stopped all the moving gears in Charles's head.
What? No, I'm number 7 or 8.
Charles, it was official this morning, all over the news. You're a celebrity but also a target now.
What do you mean?
Charles was confounded.
It's big news to me, but why should anyone else care?
Number 2 is a rich woman from a foreign country that wants to be number 1. She doesn't have the reach in real life to make it happen, but that doesn't mean she won't have people come to you here to try to stress out your mind to get to your body, Xolia answered.
The look she gave him when she told him was like she expected him to already know that. Charles, though, was good at ignoring looks. Instead, he was already thinking about what it meant.
Huh. That's like a flimsy plot to a free web fiction novel. I used to read those before they all went audio, way back when there was an internet.